God's been doing with us and kind of share where we are in that journey moving forward. And so thank you for the opportunity to do this and to worship with you and to praise together with you. Let's see, I think I brought a picture up here for you guys, even though we're already here. It seems like I needed to bring a picture. So there's a recent picture of our family. And so you have met three of our kids, and then by God's grace and wonder, we came home with a fourth. So you see Asher is 5 now, and Karis is 8, Micah 7, and our newest son is named Noam. And so that's the male form from the name Naomi. It's from that same root word in the Bible. And so, yeah, that's a whole different story, but God is good, and he does surprising things many times. So he's especially in new environments, as you might understand, he is a little uneasy and would rather me be holding him, but he'll be okay. Now, we were in China in March, and so he's only been with us a couple of months. He was in an orphanage in Beijing there. It's okay. We're right here. We can see you. You can go to the next slide there. I want to give you a couple visuals. Most people, just because, as you'd imagine, it's easier to remember, think we're in Paris, and we're not actually. We're close to there, but we are, in a little while, I'll let you see some visuals from our neck of the woods in France, and it's really the farthest extreme that you can imagine from a big city like Paris. But we're about a 45-minute drive from Paris. You can see, which puts us in the northern part of the country. We're about 2 hours from the coast, I would say. And then you see blown up there a little map of, more specifically, our current target area, our current mission field that we're working amongst. And so you can't read the little towns, but what you see there is a collection of 22 little towns and villages that represent about 36,000 people. And so we are currently, our teammates, you may have heard us mention in previous encounters with you, that have been there in France about 30 years. They just planted a church in the hub city of this collection of villages called Meru. It's a great thing. And so it's we're working alongside a existing church of about 10 years that you can be praying for them. They're searching for a pastor to take the reins there at that location. And so we were sent there into this region, into this project, not so much to minister within their congregation as to be a resource to help them expand in the region, to help expand their influence, to help spread the gospel, to help multiply themselves. And so the way that's worked out for us thus far is we actually don't live in the town of Meru. We live in one of these surrounding villages. Ours is one of the tiniest of these villages of about 300 people or so. But about half of the congregation is in a similar situation as us. They don't live in Meru. They live in one of these surrounding villages. We are praying for ways that we can equip the congregation to reach out to their existing communities, to start new groups where they are, to make disciples. I heard a great end of a lesson this morning that I'm focused on that principle, the command that Jesus left us with, that's his plan A, and that's the only plan there is God is, in his divine wisdom, has chosen us, the church, as his method of spreading his fame in this world. And so we want to do everything we can to equip believers to do just that, right where they are, in whatever context God has placed them. I don't want to give you too many numbers because most of you have had us share about the general context in France before, but just a couple of stats to refresh your memory. Overall, nationwide, France is less than 1% evangelical. And so, as far as we know, for instance, the church that we're working with in Meru is the only evangelical church in this community of about 36,000 people. And so a church that looks not much different than yours here, a congregation of about 40 people with children in a room that they rent from the city. And so that's the only gospel witness amongst these people. And this is just one little corner of a region where we currently live. It's most of France is in a very similar situation to this. Statistically, if you were to ask somebody their religious affiliation, about two-thirds of them would say that they're Catholic. But most of them are not practicing Catholics by any means. They generally, when they give that response, are saying that culturally they're Catholic. That to be French is to be Catholic for many people still. That's their identity. That's their history, their story there is as the French. But to give you a more example, even in our little tiny town of 300 people or so, there is a Catholic church building in our town. It's been there a long time and looks beautiful in its own little way. But with the exception of twice a year, it's locked. The doors are locked. There's a priest that's responsible for this parish, and he'll go through make the circuit throughout the year through these different little towns and open the doors and hold a service there in each little town. And so just goes to illustrate there's not a demand for, there's no need for more than that. That's they call themselves Catholic, but they don't know Jesus. Even though they've heard the name of Jesus, they don't know him. They don't know why he came. They don't know the sacrifice that was made and the love that he has for us, that it has any bearing on our day-to-day lives or our eternity for that matter. Another almost 30% of the people that have rejected this notion would just say that they're atheist without any shame in giving that response. Just intellectually, they've left all that behind and they don't believe that any of that exists. And so then you have about an 8% and growing Muslim population in France. And then, like I said, less than 1% evangelical presence. And so I like to try to, because numbers sometimes are hard to wrap our minds around, and so I like to try to bring it home a little bit. And so think about your own personal testimony, the way that God pursued you and brought you to the Lord, the different people, the churches, the ministries, and your story that God used to bring you to that point of repentance and faith. I can think of mine clearly, different things God had done. And so they say statistically, on average, people will have 5 meaningful encounters with the gospel before they come to that point of surrender. It doesn't work that way for everybody, but that's just the average. There's a little bit of a process there where God brings you, breaks down your walls and softens your heart enough to hear. And I can see that in my life. And we may say the things, man, where would I be without those people that influenced me in my life, with that ministry, that church, that program? Well, that's the case here in our context in France and a lot of places of the world. If you were to take those influences out of your life and remove them from your story, then you begin to see that that's their everyday, that's their existence. Those gospel influences aren't there. And so that is the passion of our heart, is to that God is the burden on our heart that God has placed, is to help address that situation, to increase that gospel influence there among the French, that they would have the chance to hear, respond, to have a sincere opportunity to hear God's word. And so they say that less than 10% of the French own a Bible, and that 80% of them have never opened one. And so while it's readily available, you can get one without any trouble. There's no laws against having one or reading it. It plays very little, has very little importance within their culture. But the good news to report is that and we are encouraged, we are optimistic that God has given us favor in our community, that we're going to have real opportunities to we've already had some surface level spiritual conversations with people. You'll see in this video I'm going to show you in a moment the clips of one some footage from one project we did with some of the kids' friends in our home. We're able to share the word with them, and all of that has been received well. Nobody seems put off that we're there, and when we tell them why we're there, everybody seems at best a little curious, and at worst just tolerating of it. And so we think that's we think God is well, the best thing we can report are the relationships that God has allowed us to have thus far. Just Hervé, a man that helps me learn French, that invited me to his home. The kids' teachers, Valerie and Christine, we get to meet with, and Michelle runs with one of them occasionally. Their friends, Yvonne and Maëlle and Jean and Julie and Marie and their parents, Eric and Alice. I could keep going, but people. This has gone from the theoretical to us to now that we have friends and neighbors that we are just burdened for them to have this opportunity. We are crying out, yearning for this opportunity to be able to share with them more in a way where they'll truly listen and interact. And we really believe we're going to have those opportunities. Whether they'll respond, we don't know. But I'm optimistic. I feel like especially the generations our age and younger are seeking more than they would in the past. They don't have as much of a strong tie anymore to that Catholic identity that much of the older generation does. They're being forced to wrestle with questions about spirituality with the growing Muslim influence there in the country. Even the evangelical presence is growing. The God is doing things there. For sure. And so all that to say, we come home over these couple of months definitely encouraged and ready to go back and excited about what God is in the midst of doing there. And so before I keep blabbering anymore, let me show you some footage. And this is a short clip, kind of give you a context of where we are. I'll go ahead and warn you, some of the audio is we caught a lot of the wind, so sorry about that. But there's some of that text put on the screen so you can read it there in those places. But let me show you this clip. Weeks ago, us and our teammates here in Franceville had a special day of prayer of 24 hours to pray for France, and in particular to be able to mobilize, to be able to send out French workers and French disciples to reach the French people here. During that time of prayer, the passage in Matthew 9 and elsewhere in the Gospels about Jesus and his disciples walking through the field obviously came to mind.
Alors, il dit à ses disciples, la moisson est abondante, mais les ouvrières sont peu nombreux. Demandez donc au Seigneur à qui appartient la moisson d'envoyer des ouvriers pour la rentrée.
And so I pictured myself in this field, just walking alongside Jesus, and just asked, Jesus, the harvest here is still plentiful. And I'm just convinced, yes, the harvest is here, plentiful. But we just need workers. And I'm just as convinced that God has sent our family here to work among these people, work among these fields, amongst our neighbors and friends, our kids, our classmates, those in this town and around the region. I want to
say thank you, first of all, to those who have sent us and allowed us to come.
Merci pour toutes vos prières. Merci beaucoup.
We want to also ask you to pray that you might join our team to help keep us here, to help send us back to France this fall, to continue working amongst these fields. So pray for us.
So some of the things you saw there was 3 weeks out of the year, there's those yellow canola fields that are magnificent. And we live right in the middle of those. You saw a little bit of the inside of our home. I mentioned that kind of backyard Bible club we hosted 1 week last summer. You saw a glimpse of a church service there that we work with in Meru. And at this moment, let me just stop and let you know that I was addressing you. I am thanking you for the part that you have played in our journey up to this point, for being able to spend these last 2 years there, investing our lives there, integrating into that community. And so the foundations have been laid there, as I was referencing, for future ministry. And, you know, a lot of the toughest transition is in a missionary's first term. A lot of times it's, you know, your initial culture shock can really rattle a missionary unit, missionary family. And as glad as we are to be here, we're dying to get back. Our kids are as well. And God smoothed those paths in a miraculous way for our kids to not just be there, but to thrive, to make friends, to learn the language. We're anxious to continue that work, but thank you for those that have given the portion that you've sent our way through the Great Commission offering. I know that you pray for us on a regular basis, and all of that is invaluable, and we couldn't have done it without you. And so know that through those efforts, you are impacting a community there, that there's salt and light there that wasn't there before. And so we're excited to see how God's going to use that in those towns. Briefly, in our current status, that was, we left on a 2-year contract, largely due to the amount of monthly support that we had. And so we're here this summer to raise the additional amount of monthly support we need in order to be back in the fall, as well as to strengthen our prayer teams, to solidify those that we still call our community, because we don't have a strong one there, but those that can, from here, continue to pour into us, to build us up, to sharpen us, all of those things that you need and experience in church life. And so if I get the chance, I would love to visit with some of you further on some of those ways that maybe you can more personally be involved. And so pray for us. We are week 5 of 10 of this support raising campaign and prayer support campaign to get back. So our goal is to be back the last week of August, and we're happy to report God has been doing some neat things, and that we're ahead of schedule at this point. So we praise Him for that, but we still got a ways to go, and there's still room for you if you would like to be involved, for sure. Let's move into the scripture a little bit, and I would like to share with you, discuss with you a psalm that one of my favorite psalms. I don't know if you can have a life psalm, but if so, this is kind of the theme and motto of our ministry and our lives at this point. And it's in Psalm 67. So if you would turn there, I would love to read it together with you. Talk a little bit about what God has to say to each of us. Psalm 67. God, be gracious to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear him. Let's pray for a moment and then look at this a little closer. Father God, what a privilege, God, to stand here and to expound on your word, God, to communicate your truths. God, I pray, Lord, that I will be your vessel this morning. But more than that, God, that your spirit will speak to hearts, that your spirit will speak to my heart and will guide us into all truth, that you will conform us, God, to your Son, that you will make our hearts beat for the things that your heart beats for, that we could be, God, some people, a church that, God, brings glory to your name, that causes people to rejoice and sing your praises. God, make that our heart in everything that we do. And we're just humbled to be a part of it, God, to be adopted into your family, to have been pursued by you, no merit of our own, but just out of your goodness and grace. Made us one of your sons, one of your daughters. And God, help us to just, everything we do, to be an overflow of that. By that relationship, God, by those, that amazing grace that we love to sing about. So, God, this time, Father, shape us, teach us, give us courage and boldness, God, to live for you completely, to follow you completely. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. I do love this psalm. It's been, like I said, a big encouragement to us throughout this journey, which is about 12 years long now, when God first initially called my wife and I to be a part of the church planting effort in France. And so it starts off in a way that's pretty common to us. It starts off with a prayer, with a plea to God. God, be gracious to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, just as the sun shines down on us each day. God, help us to receive your favor, your goodness, your grace. God, bless us. And so often, I don't know about you, but I find myself using similar language. God, bless us in this, bless our family, bless our church, or the troops, or the missionaries, or something else like that. In fact, I remember one youth event I was a part of at one time where the speaker challenged us and just said, I want you to try tonight to pray without using the word bless. Not that it's a bad thing to use the word bless or to ask God to bless you, but just challenging us to think about what it is we were saying, what it is we were praying. And I did find that personally a little bit difficult for me. But this is, like I said, this is a good prayer. This is a good way. This is a good thing to ask of the Father. God, bless us and be gracious to us. These are good things to ask for. And cause your face to shine upon us. These are good things. In fact, it comes from the same thing that God told Aaron to bless the people of Israel. He said, this is from Numbers chapter 6. Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. This is the blessing you should put over the say over the sons of Israel. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. And so they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I will bless them. So this comes straight from God's command to his people. This is a good thing. God bless us. But then we get to verse 2, and this is where the psalmist begins to depart a little bit from maybe sometimes what we're used to praying. And that, it's not just a plea, but it's a plea with a purpose. You see there in verse 2, that God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. But then that, for what reason? Why? That your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. I know in my prayers it's easy to leave out verse 2. And I'll confess to you that even as our family serves in France, it's easy to forget part of this. This whole thing is about Jesus. It's about God. It's about praises being proclaimed to his name. And it's easy for us, even there, to let the focus become be centered on us, on our ministry, on our family, even our neighbors and the French that we're ministering to, and lose sight that, wait a second, even beyond that, this is about God getting the glory. Yes, I want to see these people. God deserves their praise. He is worthy of it. He desires it. He loves them. But even it's not as much about them as it is God getting that glory that he deserves and desires. And it's easy even for us to forget that. And so if you're in that same boat, I'm with you. This is easy to forget this perspective. But really it shouldn't be a surprise to us. We know that, for instance, in Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created, Paul tells us, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. And so we know these truths. We've heard them. We've studied them, that this whole thing that we're a part of was created by him. It was through him, and it's for him ultimately. It's for his praise. And so I continue in verse 3. So let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Verse 4, I find this interesting, what it is they're rejoicing about, what it is they're praising God for. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Why? For you will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. You think about all the chaos taking place in our world right now. I mean, what a cause to rejoice to know that God is sovereign above it all and that he judges and runs things in a righteous way. That is a cause for celebration, for rejoicing. And it's good news. We have good news to share with people. And we live out that good news. That, like we said, God is above it all, and he's accomplished this. It is finished. He's accomplished our redemption. And we get to now be a part of his grand design to see all of creation, all nations redeemed, to be brought into that family. This is good news. And so it's good news to share with these people. So much so in verse 5, he repeats it again. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. And then in verse 6, the earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. The earth has yielded its produce, and God, our God, blesses us. Notice the source of this blessing. It's from God. The earth yields its produce because God allows it to. God commands it to. And every good thing that we have in our lives comes from him. It's from him. He's the source of all this, of the goodness, of the blessing of our life. And so in verse 7, you see that purpose restated again. just in case we missed it, that God blesses us. Why? Why does God shine His favor on us? That all the ends of the earth may fear Him. That His glory would spread and rule in this earth. That all nations would sing that praise to Him. That He would get that praise that He deserves. This is the purpose. This is the purpose of all of us. Well, let me continue on. So we see a plea, we see a prayer, but with a purpose. God bless us, but why? For this purpose, I'd accomplish your purposes. And then we see finally that in context, this is rooted in a promise. And I'm going all the way back to Genesis chapter 12 with Abraham. In verse 1, excuse me, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And here's the promise. And I will make you a great nation, God says. And I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, this is incredible. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So even at the very foundation of the nation of Israel, calling of Abraham, and starting that lineage that would lead, we know, one day to the Savior, God says, hey, I'm Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. But again, why? What was the purpose of all that? Was it just for Abraham's sake? I know God loves Abraham. but no, it was so that he could be a blessing. He could be that vessel. It was so that all of the families of the earth will be blessed to the glory of God, so that His praise would increase among the nations. And so now, as the church, as the continuation of that true Israel being grafted into that same work, this is our purpose. This is our purpose. And could I just say that this we as Christians here in America have been blessed. And this passage isn't just written to Americans. It's written to all nations and all contexts, all Christians everywhere. But man, isn't it especially written to us who have seen such blessing from God? And I'm not just speaking materially, but you can't ignore that we're richer statistically than, what is it, 95% of the world or something like that. It shouldn't be overlooked. But even beyond that, think about the other advantages that you have just having been born in this country, or even this part of the country if you were born here, or if you lived here, or whatever. I just think about my family sometimes. And I have a great family. I was born in Memphis. I had so many people over the years, it took me a while to get it, but that were praying for me and that ministered to me and that eventually shared the gospel with me. And if I had been born in India, none of that would have been true. And that had nothing to do with me. It was just God's design, His grace. Man, we have received such blessing here. And I'm declaring today that blessing is for a purpose for each of us. That blessing in our lives was for a purpose, for this very same purpose that God had started right from the beginning stages of His nation of Israel, was to bring God glory. I like to say, I like to say that that each of us really have the same job, and we get labeled as missionaries or foreign missionaries or things like that. But we're really all ambassadors for Christ, with the same task. We've just been given different posts. And so for this time in our life, God has said, I want you to be my ambassador here in France, in this little small community that that God knew, but man, we knew very little about. So this is your assignment for a while. I want you to be my ambassador here. I want you to make disciples here. I want you to be my witness from here to the ends of the earth. And so I want to encourage you that while that's our post, you also have a post, and you also have been called to engage in that same task. Again, right along these same lines that you were studying this morning. And that's to, in the way that Jesus modeled it with his disciples, to invest in men and women, to make disciples that will be ready to surrender all for his cause and for his glory, to equip them to do the same thing. That was God's plan to reach the nations. And that's what he calls us to be a part of. That's why I believe he has blessed us, so that we can be a part of that. And so some of you may receive, some of you may have signed up to be a part of our prayer team. We send out a newsletter to our whole contact base every few months, a little more so this summer. But we also have a separate prayer team that some of you may have signed up for. While typically each month send out a prayer calendar with specific needs that we know of for that month. And I designate one day of the week, Tuesdays, to pray for our churches that are taking part of our journey, that have that are either investing in us financially or through prayer or through encouragement of some other means. And so you guys are part of that rotation that I pray for, that I ask our prayer partners to pray for Lakewood Baptist Church here in Oakland, Tennessee, that they can impact this community and to the ends of the earth. And so I want you to know that we do that we love you guys. But I also want you to know that I don't pray that just for you. I don't pray for God just to bless Lakewood for your means, even though I love you. I pray for God to bless you so that you can be a blessing to others, and so that you can take part in this, and however it is that God directs you to do it, to see all the peoples bring that praise to God. And so I ask you to do the same as you pray for us. Yes, God, please shine your face upon us so that we can be a part of this, so that we can be a blessing, so that all the families of the earth can be blessed, not for their sake, but for the sake of his name, so that his praise and glory fills this earth as it should. I know that this is what I want my life to be about. I want to be able to take part of this, this glorious thing, to be able to share the good news, to see people rejoice because they have something more, the greatest treasure that they could have. As we talk about all these things, blessings and advantages, we know that the greatest blessing any of us could have is Jesus himself. And so this is, we get the privilege to share this good news with others, to help them know this great treasure that we know, that changes everything, and to see as a result of that those praises increase, the praise to his name, his fame increase as a result. Man, what a privilege! And I want to be a part of that, and I hope that you want to be a part of that. As a church, individually, as families, to see, and really, I think you know this, but all of this is working towards this end. The Bible tells us that one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. And so no matter what we see on the news, man, pray for Pray for those things that you see. But remain confident that it's all working towards this end, that this is coming about. And one way or another, people are going to proclaim him as Lord. And so I want to be a part of that. I want God to use me towards that end. And I hope that that you would do the same. So God, I'm gonna read this psalm again as just a prayer to all of us. God, be gracious to us and bless us. God, cause your face to shine upon us, God. Lord, that your way may be known on the earth, that your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its produce. God, you, our God, you bless us. God, bless us that all the ends of the earth may fear you. Yeah. Thank you so much. Let me pray, and then Pastor Tom, I'll let you take over here. God, I pray that that's the cry of our hearts. God, what a privilege to know you, to have been adopted by you into your family, to be able to be your ambassadors, to represent you at whatever post it is you've assigned us to, God. What an honor. And God, it's not a burdensome thing that you call us to be a part of, but something to rejoice in, God. We have great news that will cause the peoples of the earth to rejoice in you, to sing your name with praise. That's the news that we have to share, God. It's something great, something magnificent. Make that true in our hearts, God, as we encounter people day in and day out, as we evaluate the direction of our lives, the way that we invest the things that you've blessed us with, the time that you allow us to have, the giftings that you've given each one of us, God. May it be about this. May it be working towards that end that you tell us is coming, that every name, that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess you as Lord. So God, we proclaim that you are worthy of that praise. And we pray that our lives, that we walk in a manner worthy of this calling that you've given us. So we are just humbled again to be a part of it. God, make us more like your Son. Draw us closer to you. Help us to love you more, God, each day with all of our heart and mind and soul and strength. And to live our lives, God, that your glory would fill this earth, that your praise would increase amongst all peoples. And so I thank you for this church, the way that they've impacted us in our journey, for the way that they plan to continue to be involved, God, that you that French men and women will become your disciples, not for their sakes, God, but to continue this process so that to see more and more disciples made from there to the ends of the earth. So thank you for that that investment, this opportunity you've given all of us, God, to be a part of that. And we thank you for your Son, the greatest blessing of any of it. God, you tell us that he that has the Son has life. He that doesn't have the Son does not have life. God, we thank you. We've been allowed to, that you pursued us, that we have the opportunity to have your Son. And I pray that if anybody here can't say that, God, that if they can't say, I have the Son, I have Jesus, just in the sense like I have a friend and a brother and a Lord, I have that relationship with him, God, that they would, that you would draw them to yourself, even now. that you would speak to their hearts. Show them, God, that there's nothing on this earth that compares to you. And that they might come to that point, God, of surrender, of giving everything over into your loving and capable hands. So again, we thank you for this morning, God. Pray that you are lifted high. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.